Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, you are all producers of this program. You can suggest a topic, a question for a particular guest, a whole series, whatever. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for the You Produce page to influence the show. Now, a Spitzer Commission proposes big changes for SUNY, including less state control over tuition. The Governor's Commission on Higher Education officially releases its report today, and it sees the economic future of New York tied to big new investments in SUNY, especially for research. That includes 2,000 more full-time faculty members at the 64 SUNY campuses, more funding from state government, and higher tuition for the better SUNY schools. Full disclosure, I got my bachelor's degree from SUNY Albany, and I think public higher education is really important in New York and elsewhere. With us now, a senior advisor to Governor Spitzer, Lloyd Constantine. Maybe you saw his quote in the Times yesterday saying, "We certainly don't have a Berkeley." Mr. Constantine, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
What did that mean, "We certainly don't have a Berkeley"?
Well, we don't have a sort of a marquee flagship of two the way California does with Berkeley and UCLA, or Wisconsin does with Madison, or Texas does with Austin. We have a lot of greatness within the system, but we don't have, you know, what some people call a flagship or two.
Do you have your eye on one? Albany, Buffalo, Stony Brook?
Well, I don't have my eye on anything. I'm not a member of the commission. I'm just the governor's liaison to the commission. But what we certainly do have our eye on, both the commission and I think the governor, are a variety of mechanisms to lift this system. And one of the mechanisms to lift an entire system is to give it a few campuses, lead campuses, flagship campuses, that sort of define the system for the state, for the nation, for the world, and other states do have that. We don't have that.
And ultimately, to serve what purpose for New Yorkers?
Well, the purpose of SUNY and CUNY, of public higher education, is basically to set the focus for the whole future of the state. The future of New York State is going to be as a capital of ideas, of innovation, of culture, and at the center of that is higher education.
From what I've read in the press accounts, and tell me if you think this is an accurate impression, the commission focuses less on reforming SUNY for the sake of educating young New Yorkers and more on using SUNY as an engine for economic growth, especially upstate. Would you put it that way?
No, I wouldn't. I think they're one and the same thing. And from educating young New Yorkers, for their futures, you get all of the economic development, workforce development, urban revitalization goals, which are a part of this. I mean, education is not a panacea, but it comes as close to being one as you have, because every dollar spent on education is also a dollar spent on economic development, on workforce development, in many parts of the state, on revitalizing communities and urban centers. So I don't think it's a dichotomy in any way.
The commission proposes a $3 billion innovation fund and 2,000 new full-time faculty positions. What would the $3 billion be spent on mostly?
It's to set up a research fund, very much like the NIH has or the NSF has, so that research universities in the state, both public and private, could compete for research dollars to fund their important research. That would have the benefit of bringing to New York scholars, of educating New York students, of potentially creating new inventions and technologies which would have commercial applications, so technology transfer. And it's an established kind of system which exists at the federal level and in many other states. And this would simply bring a tried and true model to New York State.
And what about the 2,000 additional faculty members? Would they be concentrated in research-oriented faculty positions?
They would be spread between SUNY and CUNY, just focusing on CUNY for a second. CUNY at its high water mark had 11,200 full-time faculty. Today, it has 6,800 full-time faculty. There's been a
but they have more students, don't they? Or am I wrong?
What I'm saying, for the same number of students, they have less full-time faculty. And the single factor which tends to define success within a university is the percentage of full-time faculty, the percentage of courses taught by full-time faculty. So that's a very bad statistic that they've dropped from 11,200 to 6,800. There's been a comparable drop in SUNY. And so those 2,000 additional full-time faculty over 5 years would be divided in some way between SUNY and CUNY and put at the campuses where they are needed the most.
And divided how between teaching and research?
The faculty that winds up at the research-oriented campuses like the CUNY Graduate Center, Binghamton, Albany, Stony Brook, and Buffalo, a larger component of their time is spent on research, and a smaller component is spent on teaching at the
But no sense of how the 2,000, according to the commission's recommendation, would be distributed 2/3 to those research-oriented positions or whatever.
The commission made a pretty clear recommendation that one area which needs emphasis is research. So the suggestion is that there would be a significant proportion of that devoted towards research positions, not just at those campuses, but there's a lot of research going on throughout the system. There's research going on at the Environmental Science and Forestry campus up in Syracuse. There's research going on at all levels of the system, but a lot of this is focused on the research component of SUNY and CUNY.
We have a few minutes for phone calls for Governor Spitzer's liaison to his Commission on Higher Education, releasing its report today, including a recommendation for 2,000 more full-time faculty members for SUNY and CUNY, as we're hearing, for a $3 billion investment in research in particular at the research-oriented SUNY schools, for tuition to be able to vary, which we'll talk about next. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. So where does tuition come in?
Well, tuition comes in. The schools in SUNY and CUNY have been deprived of revenue over the last several decades. They've been deprived of revenue from the state because the state has not supported these institutions to the extent that institutions in other states have been supported, and they've been deprived of tuition revenue. What happens in both SUNY and CUNY is that the tuition stays the same for a long period of time. Then it jumps up a whole by a large percentage in 1 year. It's kind of negative lottery. And there's only really, three places where you can get money from. You can get it from this for a public institution. You can get it from the state. You can get it from tuition. And in some instances, you can get it from philanthropy or alumni. Well, in two of those areas, the SUNY and CUNY campuses have been severely deprived. They haven't been free to set their own tuition policy, and they haven't gotten the kind of support that they should from the state.
When you say free to set their own tuition policy, does the SUNY system have a single unified tuition today?
Yeah, $4,350, and that compares, for example, at a place like Berkeley, where the tuition is $19,000 for an out-of-state student, but $8,000. So it's roughly double at a Berkeley that is as it is at a Stony Brook or a Buffalo.
Why make public education subject to market forces?
You'd never want to make it fully subject to market forces. But again, there are, and I think New York has done a noble attempt at trying to keep tuition down, but to the point where it's actually starved the campuses and made it impossible for the campuses to differentiate themselves. It's much more expensive to run a research-oriented campus like Buffalo or Stony Brook than it is to run a comprehensive college which does not have the same kind of laboratories and research equipment and all of that. And New York has operated up until now under a one-size-fits-all proposition where everybody is charged the same amount. And the tuition in New York is a lot lower than it is in virtually any other public institution.
Funny enough, Harvard just announced it's going in the other direction. More aid available for middle-class families for their elite education. Does this mean you're willing to make the more elite SUNY schools less available to New York's middle class?
I think the recommendation of the commission is to make it more available by significantly increasing state support, introducing a certain amount of tuition flexibility, but with the caveat that the neediest students are held harmless for whatever modest tuition increases result. And also, there's a recommendation to increase the TAP program to make it more affordable for middle-class families as well. And what Harvard has done is Harvard hasn't said the wealthiest students are not going to pay. What they have simply done is redefine the middle class. And, of course, they do that off of a endowment of over $40 billion.
Stephen, go ahead.
And the idea here is to introduce some flexibility into tuition policy to protect the neediest students from any increases in tuition, and to allow by program and by campus flexibility so that there can be some recognition of the actual cost of education, but certainly not putting this on the backs of the students.
Let me get a few phone calls in here real quick before we run out of time. Stephen in Glen Cove, you're on with Lloyd Constantine, the governor's liaison to the Higher Education Commission. Right to the point. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I am a PhD candidate at Stony Brook in one of the science departments. I won't say which. And I am very skeptical of Mr. Constantine's position, and here's why. Any and all grants that are awarded to the faculty members in any department, 20%, at least in my particular department, is taken right off the top and goes right into SUNY's coffers. Now, do we see those monies? Absolutely not. In other words, the funding, the budgets, are dependent upon the faculty members.
Let me get a response to that. Faculty member gets research grant, 20% goes off the top to the university. Problem?
It's not 20%, but there is some percentage which is retained by the state university for providing the facilities and for the administration of the program. What the right percentage is, whether it's 20% or 10% or 5%, is a matter of debate. But
sure.
If we're going to pump $3 billion additional research money into the system, that certainly will be to the benefit of Stony Brook, to
all
the
right.
benefit of the professors there, and to the PhD candidates.
George in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Enjoy your program a great deal.
Right, thank you. Right to the point.
Okay, the point is that a comment from Mr. Constantine about the fact that the commission has a pretty heavy representation from the private sector. And given the history of relations between the public and the private sector, I guess many of us wonder, the wisdom of that.
Do you have a suspicion, George, about something being done for the benefit of some private interest?
Well, the private interest of the private universities that have always been opposed to, in fact, from the very beginning, the establishment of SUNY was opposed by the private institutions.
All right. What's the role, Mr. Constantine? What's the prevalence and why of private institutions on this commission?
There are representatives from both the publics and the privates on the commission. The governor's executive order called for a heavy emphasis in the report on the publics. And I think when you look at the report, you will see that I would say somewhere between 80 and 90% of the content of the report and the recommendations of the report and the money which is asked for in the report goes to public institutions of higher education in the state. So that despite the fact that there was the president of NYU and the president of Syracuse and the president of Rochester, private institutions on the commission and Cornell, the bulk of the recommendations, the greatest emphasis in the report is on lifting the publics, helping the publics, funding the publics better.
Why would they care? Why would it be in their interest to help the publics against them? 10 seconds.
I don't think it's against them. I think this is one state, and I think collaboration exists now between Columbia, Cornell, SUNY, and CUNY. If you go up to the CUNY campus, the Structural Biology Center is a consortium of CUNY, SUNY, Columbia, Memorial Sloan Kettering, and the world of innovation.
We have exactly 20 seconds. You're the governor's liaison to the commission. Does the governor immediately accept the recommendations of this commission?
No. The governor reads them and will start to reject, embrace, modify these recommendations, beginning with the State of the State address on January 9th and when he unfurls his executive budget on January 22nd.
Lloyd Constantine is the governor's liaison to the Commission on Higher Education, releasing its report today. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.